Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Tuesday edition, the post-Roe v. Wade edition, perhaps, rolling into the happier happy hour, and I'm happy because Dom is joined, and also our fine guest, Milwaukee County Corporate Counsel, Maggie Daunt. She has generously agreed to stick around. Maggie, thank you for doing so. I got one question, then I'll let Dom take a crack at you. Is it time to start packing the court, sister?
Yes. You know, if this is where we're going, that's the shortest answer you'll get from me all afternoon.
So electorally, we hold the House, we hold the Senate, we get rid of the filibuster, and we come to a legislative conclusion, and this is not enumerated in the Constitution, at least not the number of justices. We come to the legislative conclusion, it's time to expand the courts, and what do you say, about six more? Make sure we dilute the Trump picks.
Yeah, and I think we should now pick Supreme Court justices that are like as fresh out of law school as possible, since apparently like qualifications and experience don't matter. They just need to meet our ideological litmus tests, and that'll get them on the court. It's interesting because in Alito's decision, he actually takes this up in sort of a way, not court packing, but just the criticism that if they reverse Roe, that the court will effectively be accused of succumbing to political pressures, right? And he doesn't really rebut it. He just kind of says, yeah, but we need to do what we think is right anyways, and this is what we think is right now. It's not a rebuttal. I mean, there's so many arguments that he makes that he just doesn't flesh out, are very ill-developed. It is a draft. So
it is a draft.
You know, of that, but it was very, very disappointing. And I just wanted to pro-choice advocates out there everywhere, nationwide, I hope they're all listening to your show, first of all, because it's great programming. Second of all, I'd like to give them an idea. If this is legal, if you can ban abortions, let's say at 6 weeks, then I think that they should also consider making illegal the use of Viagra or the prescribing of Viagra to any man unless he is married, is completely debt-free and current on all of his payments, and can show a test that shows that he is free of any sexually transmitted diseases.
Can I get around that debt date if I get a vasectomy?
Is there, and that's the point, right? So the Republicans and the conservatives and the anti-choicers are making this whole argument. Well, abortion is not in, it's not in the Constitution. Well, either is heart bypass surgery. I mean, there's all sorts of medical operations that are not mentioned in the Constitution. Maggie, can we just put the facade aside and stop pretending the Supreme Court is not a political entity? I mean, let's just get past all of this. And what I have not heard anybody talk about is the Christianity, the God portion of this. That is what's driving this. It is religion. It is religion. There's nothing in the Constitution that allows or gives anybody the right to vaginal intercourse. But, you know, hell, I don't even say, is marriage even mentioned in the Constitution? I don't think so. No, it's not. So the arguments that are being made are just, they're terrible. They're terrible. They make no sense. They're trying to make some sense. And I did hear Mark talk about what the Ninth Amendment, right? That, you know, if it's not enumerated here, it doesn't mean that they don't exist. Well, and you said he mentioned that once Alito did. In what context, Maggie, could you edify me? Did Alito mention that?
So it's in the very beginning of where he's setting up the constitutional framework for the analysis of Roe and Casey in this particular right. And he says, well, there's a various arguments have been made throughout time about where this right to an abortion may exist within the Constitution because it doesn't contain the word abortion. And he said, again, this is really, he thinks that it resides only exclusively within the 14th Amendment. But he mentions in passing, and this is fairly early on, after the next break, I can tell you the exact page if you need it. But they say, yes, the Ninth Amendment, of course, reserves rights not discussed here to the people. Well, isn't that the whole freaking point? The Constitution clearly conceives that there are rights that aren't listed in the document itself or in the Bill of Rights. And they're reserved to the people. Now, Alito effectively, without saying that he's doing this, and again, he may expand this in the final draft, bootstraps that and then says, well, you still have to find them somewhere. And it's in this due process clause of the 14th Amendment. And we can only find those substantive rights if they are, again, quote, fundamental rights rooted in history and ordered liberty. And he does say explicitly in this same decision that, of course, the right to keep and bear arms to kill people with is fundamental to ordered liberty, but somehow control over one's body isn't. That's insane. We are completely through the looking glass, and this stuff deeply matters. I guarantee to any man listening to this program right now, who happens to be more on the pro-life end of the spectrum, I guarantee you that you know women that have had abortions that aren't telling you that they have. It is way more common than you think. I can simply say this, in my experience working in huge law firms, women were often not assigned to massive cases or transactions that could take multiple years. And I actually heard partners say this because she could get pregnant and want to get off on the mommy track. Well, what if abortion is illegal in that state? Doesn't that then encourage that sort of discriminatory conduct even more? And sure, that discrimination is illegal. But they would come up with a pretext and probably call me a crappy lawyer, and that's why I'm not assigned to the case. It will fundamentally undo the way women relate to society. And we are, Dominic, yes, my brother. We are supposed to be a secular, non-religious democracy. Your religion belongs nowhere on my body. Never has, never will. And let's not forget our history of oppression of women in our legal system. I mentioned that it wasn't until 1974 that women could get a credit card without their husband's permission. But it was only in 1973 that a woman could sit on a jury in all 50 states. I'll repeat that. That was in 1973. In 1948, the Supreme Court ruled that women couldn't be bartenders in large cities unless their husbands or fathers owned the establishment. And let's, you know, of course, we should begin with the most fundamental property laws. Women were considered chattel, just like slaves, property to be traded. This is the history of the law's treatment of women. So screw you, Justice Alito. I, again, do not think that history should be the guide in how we define the rights of oppressed people like women. Go buzz off.
Folks, you are listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. That is the highly opinionated and excellent attorney, Maggie Dodd. She's our friend. She's already invited herself to stay for one more segment. So yeah. Somewhere along the way, we lost control of this show. But Dom, back to you.
Isn't this the privacy rights issue? And if that's what the issue is, what about all the other societal problems that are going to occur? And I've heard a little bit of your show, and I've done a little reading. I'm not an attorney, but I like to think I'd understand. And I always look at it from this way. You know, I didn't ask to be on this earth, right? My mommy and daddy had traditional missionary vaginal intercourse, and all of a sudden here I am. So what are my rights as a citizen, as born in this country? Well, I think we should have all the rights. We should have, absolutely, and we should only be restricted on very little things. So when you talk about, and I saw the guy from Will, Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, had a piece in the journal and kind of references, well, if these particular rights, and I forget how he describes them, an assumed right, I guess I'm going to call them, because it's not specified in the Constitution, but if these kinds of rights are allowed, then, well, can't we just do hallucinogenic drugs? Well, yes, we should as citizens, as entities, as human beings, do whatever damn well we please. And if there are issues that would infringe on other people's right to life, liberty, and happiness, well, that's why we have the government that we have to try to, you know, bounce those things around and come up with solutions. But the women didn't get a right to vote until what, 1920? I mean, so did they not have that right? Did they not have an inherent right to vote before then because it wasn't articulated in the Constitution? And if that's the case, can you get a bunch of men on the Supreme Court and decide, well, you know, we think that's wrong. We're not going to do that anymore. I got it. It's a constitutional amendment. But you get my point. Is if all the rights are assigned to Americans simply by the Constitution and the courts and nothing else, well, then we're really SOL then, aren't we? This is just, it's beyond the pale. It's beyond the pale.
This is the strict constructionist view of the world that was made popular by Scalia and the Federalist Society. I don't want to live in an American democracy that was as it was back in 1776. I don't think black folks and brown folks do either, because, you know, they were only 3/5 of a person. I don't think people that don't own property want us to return to that time, because you sure didn't get to vote if you didn't own property. You got to own dirt, because that somehow makes you an appropriate voter. I mean, it's just bananas. And the damage of this globally, which I don't think enough people are talking about, is simply incalculable. Incalculable. I listed a few of these countries that have putative democracies that have been rolling back women's rights. Poland is probably one of the most egregious of them, where their entire court system has basically been captured by the far right. They have banned abortion in Poland. It always goes hand in hand with authoritarianism. The Atlantic wrote a great piece about this about a year ago. Countries that have more liberalized rules about women controlling their bodies tend to do better. They have higher GDP, higher overall wealth, better educated, and longer life expectancies. This sets us all back.
The abortions are still going to happen, Maggie, just that people are going to die and the rich ones will be able to, you know, live and go and get one.
This should just be called poor women abortion ban, because rich folks always get it. And let's make no mistake, the Alito keeps talking about the fact that 3/4 of states.
Maggie, stop talking, poor devils.
And criminalized abortion. 3/4 of
Roman
states
Catholic?
Have decided.
Oh, I'm sorry, but I'm afraid you can't come.
Well, no, I'm no lawyer, but I do believe that's a violation of my rights.
Nobody f's with the Jesus.
The Devil's Advocates, making radio great again.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Phone lines open. You can join us at 844-967-2789. We've got Maggie Dawn, attorney, lawyer extraordinaire, fuming with the rest of us. We hope you are fuming as well. Of course, Alito, political, got the info from the Supreme Court. Maggie, what is your take on how drastic and terrible and horrible this is that they actually had a leak at the Supreme Court? Is that just totally irrelevant?
No, it's not. It's really a complete bringing low of that institution. And it presents itself a true threat to the independence of the judiciary. The leak itself has a purpose. It's serving a purpose. We know that the decision would have nearly certainly dropped before the midterm elections, but giving it this much lead up time will have an impact. The court is effectively supposed to...
What kind of impact? What do you mean? What's your expectation? What impact?
I hope, as Mike pointed out in the prior hour, I hope it serves as a rallying cry for all Democrats and anybody that might, you know, have been birthed by a woman.
Well, that includes me, but not necessarily Dom.
Hey, Hatch doesn't count. Maggie, and the religious, I really have not, and I've done a fair amount of reading on this and listening to different talking heads. I have not heard a whole lot of analysis about the religious impact, the religious background of why this is happening. I mean, if there was not some sort of religious moral objection, we would not be having this conversation. I mean, that is it. And how do we how do we overcome that legally or politically, Maggie?
Well, it's again, it speaks to the sort of absurd never never land that the Supreme Court sometimes operates in, where we all understand that this is based upon certain people's religious beliefs, right? And that if you're atheist, you probably don't have a problem with abortion from a moral perspective, or at least the sorts of abortions that they're attempting to ban with these sorts of hyper-restrictive laws. So it is, it's the injection of religion into our secular system of laws. And again, the cake thing, just the line is too good. That guy can't be forced to make a cake, but I can be forced to make a baby, both based upon their personal interpretations of religion. In one instance, the cake maker's religion is being preferenced, right? His moral beliefs. In the instance of a baby, it's not the woman's religious or moral decision making that's been given preference. It's that of the tyrannical majority, if you will, here. When you look at decisions where the Supreme Court has overturned its historical precedents, which is what it's doing here, that's not unheard of, right? Those decisions tend to fall on the side of reversing prior Supreme Court errors that clearly had led to the oppression of certain groups of people. Think Brown v. Board of Education overturning Plessy v. Ferguson. Right. You think of Oberall, Lawrence v. Texas. Lawrence v. Texas was the seminal decision that eventually led to the constitutional decision that same-sex marriage was a guaranteed personal right. Lawrence v. Texas, again, was that building block. For decades, for centuries, sodomy had been made a criminal act in most, if not all, states. That is simply indistinguishable from the situation here. Again, when it comes to defining the essential rights of oppressed groups of people, people who historically have been disenfranchised, history is not the appropriate guidepost. I don't care how nicely Justice Alito explains that. It's crap. To this day, we do not have uniformity in the laws from state to state about marital rape. And in fact, in some states, marital rape is treated very differently than non-spousal rape. This is an indication to us that men who created the Constitution, who wrote it, who designed this system, are not the best arbiters of what's in the best interests of women. And that continues to be the case today, that it is a man that is writing this opinion to overturn Roe should not be missed or underestimated. In fact, I would ask, where's Amy Coney Barrett? If this is so important, why isn't she the one that's writing this opinion? I think it would, I mean, it's not dispositive of the issue, but it certainly would rebut the argument that I just made, right, that if somebody's gonna curtail my rights, it better damn well be another woman. Still not acceptable, but at least it wouldn't have that patina of just ridiculousness. It is a man telling a woman what to do with her body. Obscene in its ideation and its execution by Justice Alito.
Maggie Dawn, our fine guest, attorney at law. Maggie, I tuned in down the dial, Righty Whitey Talk Radio, a little bit today. They were celebrating this and said, well, you know, effectively nothing's going to change because abortion's still going to be legal in like 24 states, and New York, it'll be business as usual. But that presumption, of course, is no one in the flyover country ever has an abortion. I think they got to be careful what they celebrate here, Maggie. They come off as, let's just say, a little obtuse. But what's your thought? Final minute of your fine appearance, Maggie Dawn, and don't run through the bunt sign.
Obtuse doesn't even begin to capture it, truly. As Ruth Bader Ginsburg said in her confirmation testimony before the Senate, for a woman to fully participate in this democracy, we must have control over our reproductive cycles. We must be able to determine when and where we have babies, period, full stop. Otherwise, we are not equal partners in this democracy. And I hope Righty Whitey Talk Radio continues to put their foot right in their mouth when it comes to flyover states. Maybe they should start asking the women around them what they actually think instead of substituting their judgment for that of women's.
One final opinion from you, Maggie Dawn. What do you think? Bucks in six?
Bucks in six. Bucks in six. That'd be the only bright lining on this dark, dark cloud that certainly cursed us this week.
Milwaukee County Corporate Counsel, Attorney Maggie Dawn, friend of ours. Maggie, glad we talked last night and again here on the radio today. I think you served our audience. Certainly, I'm glad if I served any stress relief to you as a sparring partner. But, you know, thanks for no throat punches. Come
Thank
back
you,
for Devil's Advocates.
I'm going to go home and sleep with my wife.
This is nonsense if it continues.
Think you know politics? Think again. Welcome to the Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Tuesday edition, the Happier Happy Hour, rolling through it. Maggie Dawn, a fine guest, kept her way too long, but I always appreciate her company. And Dom, I talked at length with Maggie, something like 90 minutes on the airwaves, something like that last night. Maggie and I talked. And she's not usually a late-night crudy caller. You know what I mean? Like, you know, we talk after office hours occasionally, but we don't have these long, drawn-out political conversations.
Yeah.
And a few of my thoughts, and I was, like, Googling, and I was mostly keeping my mouth shut, because who's going to interrupt someone who is the smartest person in class, first and foremost? She actually deposed the Enron guys, right? They were supposed to be the smartest guys in the room. Well, it turns out she was. Maggie Dawn, our pal, Milwaukee County Corporate Counsel. But as I was trying to think through what would be the you know, first and foremost, what was the polling? What did the American people say? Well, about 70% of the American people don't think Roe should be overturned. So this is certainly a decision, majority of the court, but a minority of the American people feel this way. So, you know, broadly, it's like minus 40.
Yeah, that's not where stop Republicans doing unpopular things. That's exactly what they do, because they're in the minority most of the time on most of the issues.
Well, here's the other point. About a month ago, they tried to codify this, right? Tried to codify Roe v. Wade. First and foremost, they could not move it forward for even to end debate. Couldn't end the filibuster. But let's say they threw out the filibuster. They do not have Joe Manchin with the Democratic Party on this one. Joe has already shown his colors, and it ain't with women. Joe Manchin is a no vote on codifying Roe v. Wade. So I don't know how you get from here to there. And I also mentioned with Maggie Dawn, you know, some women, Maggie Dawn's obviously outraged. Listen to Stephanie Miller a little bit this morning. She was beside herself.
You hear Senator Elizabeth Warren today?
Yes. I mean, I've never heard her so emotional.
Yeah.
And
crazy.
I'm not going to characterize, and I don't say emotional in a derisive way. I know that feeling, man. I get that. You've heard me be that emotional, because when I get pissed, I get emotional. And I got to think there are some pissed off human beings. I'd love to hear from some of them at 844-967-2789. I don't mean your common angry crank like Clay CJ. I'm talking about people that, you know, either are women and feel attacked by this, or perhaps you love a woman and you cannot believe that our nation is going to revisit, go 70, 50, 60, 70 years in its past and strip these rights away. And what stops them from taking away same-sex marriage? What stops them from taking away interracial marriage? And if you go to the hearings, I've been to some of these state hearings in Wisconsin where they attack women's reproductive rights, and they never do it predicated on science. They do it predicated on pseudoscience that they don't understand. Most of the white men in that room, they're lucky if they ever got any. They certainly don't understand how it works. And they look at, you know, some of them looks like
it's religious, man. I mean,
well, yeah, they think that's
all it is. I mean, they don't have to even look for any other explanations. This is based on a religious belief. based on mythology. They're going to dictate the terms of a fellow citizen, what they can do with their own body based on their belief in a mythological god. That is where we are at. And I do not think that people are understanding that well enough. For the atheists like me, I find this so supremely obscene. It is so obscene. Because you're dreaming something up in your head, and you're using that justification to engage the force of the state to limit me and limit women with what they can do with their bodies based on a science fiction belief. That is just the most disgusting, asinine, childish thing I have ever conceived of.
You see, our pal Jeff messaged us the article and Fortune magazine. Yeah. You know, our last best hope might be the freedom of religion of the satanic church. Because they believe in science and they believe in contraceptives. And they effectively are trying to force the hand, at least in the state of Texas. Because, you know, that's the other part I heard. It doesn't stop here. You know, look and say, well, 24 states, 26 states are going to, women are going to lose their rights in an immediate sense. And Republicans are saying, well, how do we strip them from the Californians, from the New Yorkers? How do we strip this right away from people that live in the blue states? Now, you know, the part of the justification of Alito and the majority of the court, apparently, states' rights. Now, they've been saying that since the Civil War, right? States' rights. Well, that kind of blows that all to you know what? If you turn around and you pass federal legislation that strips the ability of the states to make their own determination, if Republicans win the House, you know, win the Senate, maybe steal the election in 2024. Just decide Trump won. You know, because they've already demonstrated they have a willingness to do that, right? They already tried. They're just bad at it. But try and try again. Run. Yeah, try and try again. Anyways, let's get to the phones. 844-967-2789. Bob, listening in from Minneapolis. Bob, what do you got for us?
Hey, Bob.
Hey, gentlemen. So Manchin can bite me. Alito can bite me. But I agree 100% with Maggie there about, if it's such a big deal, why not have Amy Comer bite me to write the opinion?
And that had been the original Federalist plan, had been to have someone like Amy Coney Barrett draft the opinion, have a female be the nail in the coffin that was the Roe v. Wade decision. I'm not sure strategically why they didn't do that, but typically the opinion is assigned to the senior member of the chief, and apparently John Roberts is not part of this majority decision. So it's basically next in seniority, and that means Alito.
Well, and it also could be that maybe that's one of the reasons this draft got out, is to blow up that plan, have someone else write it, she sticks her name on it, and now it's, you know, the female delivery, Bob.
Here's my other thought. So when the House of Reps oversees the court and they draft legislation to codify Roe v. Wade, they make it so that only female members of the voting body or the judicial body can have a say. What do you think about that? I don't know if that's exactly
legal. What, take the right to vote away from men? Bob, I like where you're going with that. Here was, and appreciate your call, sir. Be like Bob. Call the Devil's Advocates at 844-967-2789. Now, I'm not recommending this for my household or even yours or Fancy Brian's or Evan's, but, you know, I hope the women of this country start going on a sex strike. You know what I'm saying? They have a lot of control over one thing. Hey, if my autonomy stops
it. Depends what state you're in, based on what I just heard Maggie say.
Well, meaning that your husband can be coercive because you've already submitted to whatever he wants to do the day you said, I do.
Marital rape is not apparently against the law and enforced the same way across the states. And that's, you know, isn't that kind of the point? I mean, isn't that kind of the thing with gay marriage? Like, if you don't have gay marriage across the country, if you don't have abortion rights across the country, and you have individual states that do, what happens when, you know, the gay couple moves to the state that doesn't allow that? What happens? Whose rights are being infringed upon? How do you deal with that? I mean, there's
logic. Well, in the case of Loving v. Virginia, they arrested the couple.
Right, interracial marriage. Can't have that. Yeah, that was in the 60s. I mean, this is not ancient history, and hell, it's not even history because Roe v. Wade is right back here again because of fundamentalist Christian zealots. That's why we are here. Never, ever forget that this is about their God. This is about their religion. They are using their mythology to force themselves to use the state to enforce their will of their religion upon the non-believers or even those who might believe it but disagree on this one particular topic.
You know, I've noted, I sneeze quite often. Dom doesn't even offer me a bless you. 844-967-2789. Pizza Box Mike. Bless you, my buddy. How you doing?
Hey, Mike.
Man, look, first and foremost, it's about men implementing power over women, which is exactly why Alito wrote the final say on it, because it's all about white power. It's about white men. It's about a fake morality guised by the religion you guys talk about. And it's,
well, they've got the only right religion in their humble opinion, and they've got the votes on the court, so they get to, you know, sort of impose it upon the rest.
Well, I'm just going to, you know, kind of end it with one more thing. It's only going to get worse. I've been saying this for a while, right? It's just, we're on our way down as a society and as a nation and as a world, and I don't know if it's salvageable anymore. This is only going to get worse.
But, so, Michael, is it possible that this is a point of inflection, that this is the exact thing that the electorate needed? I mean, there's a lot of people that, you know, they get on their smartphones or they Netflix or whatever, man. You try to escape the reality. It's been a tough couple of years, pandemic, et cetera. And some people want to disengage from politics because, you know, Donald Trump's not the existential threat he once was. But this is going to be hard for the broader electorate to ignore, Michael. And when 51% of the electorate is women, and even the vast majority of Republican women believe safe, legal abortions. I mean, how do you make this one fly when you get home to the bedroom tonight and you say, hey, babe, and she said, no, or at least that's what I'm hoping. Hey, look, other people's wives say, you know, those that might be supportive of this.
They own the narrative. They have the narrative on everything, right? They're out there in front of it already saying why this is good. And what, I mean, you've already,
I haven't heard any of them say why it's good. A few prayed on it. And a lot of them were outraged about the leak.
Exactly. No, we've been watching this for how long? You know, you get kicked off Facebook for telling the truth. Now, the guy that did the horrible act doesn't get in trouble. It's you telling everybody because nobody wants to feel that bad. I don't know what's wrong with this country, but it really sucks.
Going to end on that positive note for now, Michael.
Thanks, Mike. And listen, I know it seems like, Mike, in your point, it's worse. It's going to get worse. But I would just got to say this, man. I mean, it's always there. All these things are always there. It doesn't get, it gets worse. It kind of shifts back and forth, but it is always there. You know, abortion was illegal till Roe v. Wade, right? I mean, interracial marriage was illegal till Loving, Virginia. This is 60s and 70s. This is not ancient
history.
Well,
it was sort of
We've been having these battles forever. This is more of the same. And while it is certainly unfortunate that we have to have more of the same, and to Maggie's point, if we look at to history as an example, well, we haven't had a great history in many regards, especially to the rights of women, minorities, and you know, Native Americans, and those who didn't own land, those who were perhaps a little smaller or less powerful than those who had the power. I mean, that is humanity, man, not just in this country, but in humanity in and of itself. So this, we exist in this experiment because we engage in but the pressures are always going to be there, man. It's like a sun. You have the mass of it pulling down on itself, and the energy blowing out. It's always there's always a push and a pull, and it ebbs and flows, and it's just always going to be there, man.
Well, you can't do it to the majority if the majority votes the bums out. If the majority gets out and they start reacting, and it starts today in Ohio, they get to pick their primary opponent, right? J.D. Vance, that's going to be the Trump-endorsed guy. Maybe Tim Ryan for the Democratic Party. You pick up a seat there, Portman. And Ron Johnson, you know Ron Johnson's on the wrong side of Roe v. Wade, at least from the perspective of the majority here. But here in the state of Wisconsin, the saddest thing, Dom, I mean, think about this. The legislative majority is cooked, baked into the cake, Republican for a decade. There is no legislative solution to be offered in the state. It's kind of like legal weed. Unless it comes from the feds, we're all screwed. Come back, more Devils. We'll tell you how bad you're screwed.
What if God was one of us?
You're all individuals.
Yes, we're all individuals.
Blue, blue, blue.
Malarkey. The Devil's Advocates invented malarkey.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show, the last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up toll free at 844-967-2789.
Dominic wanted to include a recent quote from U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin. She's being quoted by the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel this afternoon. It says here, Democratic leadership in the U.S. Senate appeared to be moving towards a vote on the Women's Health Protection Act as soon as next week. Now, that's Tammy Baldwin's legislation. The legislation, well, I guess I could have read ahead. The legislation introduced by Democratic U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin aims to protect abortion rights across the country. In an interview Tuesday with the Journal Sentinel, Baldwin said, If the High Court moves to overturn Roe v. Wade, here's her quote, Tammy Baldwin's. I view this as legislating from the bench when you turn back the clock 50 years. One more quote. She added, if the final opinion is anything like the draft opinion we saw, this is just the start. And I think folks who care about constitutional rights and freedoms, next in line might be birth control. Next in line could be LGBTQ rights. I think when people have clarity on this and reach of this, that it will, in fact, lead to significant voter participation. Yeah, I agree with you, Senator Baldwin. We're going to have to see if she's got some time to join us in the near future on the big show. You can join us, 844-967-2789. Always a political party up in here. Just a little less festive, sort of a,
I know, man.
Angry end of the night whiskey drinking party that gets ugly at the end.
It's been hanging. I mean, I've been thinking about this all night. I blew my mind a little bit watching some YouTube last night, and then woke up this morning and still had to ponder these things. So it's been hanging over me as a white male, middle-aged man, and having to deal with these kinds of things, let alone my teenage daughter and my wife and all the women in my life, having to deal with this and go through this. It is so very difficult to digest and ponder and to spit out without swearing, without screaming from the rooftops. And I just, sodomy laws, 2003, or the Texas case finally outlawed, anti-sodomy laws. 2003, now generally defined as called anal sex, but also could be oral as well. All right, but think about this for a moment. What if, when you're talking to people about these kinds of issues and the eventual leeching and that's going to go on with this, because this will not stop. If this philosophy, if this happens now with abortion, it will most certainly happen with contraception. It will most certainly happen with LGBTQ, and it will most certainly happen with interracial marriage. That is if this is a platform, you can do it here, you can do it anywhere, right? And why not? If your religion forbids those kinds of things, well, what the hell? Why not? You can use that to impose your religious views upon the rest of society, regardless of whether or not you are a minority in those views. But when you talk to the people who are pro this or and want, you know, restrictions on abortion, perhaps think that birth control is terrible. Well, what if there was a law against traditional vaginal intercourse? Right? How would you deal with that? How would you digest that as a traditional married couple? That now the government has now come into your bedroom and says, no, you cannot do that. Would that be a violation of your rights? Because I don't think that traditional missionary vaginal intercourse is anywhere in the Constitution.
It's not an enumerated right. You know, the problem. I think a lot of righties aren't getting any anyways, so they don't mind taking away other people's sexual freedoms.
What do they call them?
What I'm saying.
What do they call them? There's a word for them.
Incels.
Yes.
Now, Dominic, you've booked an interesting guest for tomorrow's big show. I got a few.
I haven't confirmed,
guests.
But he's supposed to be on.
Well, I have an author, and I've got a book in my briefcase I haven't read yet. So, you know, I'll wait till tomorrow to make that big promotion.
I'm hoping. I'm working on it.
I believe I also have Deb McGrath, who is the third congressional candidate. I believe she's in Madison in studio with me tomorrow, earlier in the big show. But we're going to take a few more callers before this big show is done. Al from Milwaukee's tried to join a couple times. Al, welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, Al.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I should call you that, even though we know better.
it's because you know us, Al.
No, I tried to call in when Maggie was there because I was her basketball coach in high school. And
I bet she was a hell of a player.
I thought I taught her better than that when she kept saying that you all were her friends. I thought I taught her how to find better friends.
Bad associations will get you in trouble every time.
Bad influences, Al. Once she left your tutelage and she found us, it was all over.
That's not why I call. I call to ask you all to think about the situation with the Roe v. Wade. What about all of those babies that were born by the slave owners en route to America and after by the slaves? Hello?
Yes, sir. We're listening, Al, but what context do you want us to consider that in? Meaning
I'm
they
side
would not
by
have
side
existed?
I'm with two police officers, so I can't be driving and talking on the phone. But anyway, I'm saying all of these kids that were born by that were fathered by the slave owners and by the slaves, why wasn't there Roe v. Wade back then? And I know why, I'm being facetious, but at the same time, why doesn't any of that apply to these idiots who are trying to change this law?
I don't know, Al. Idiots being idiots, buddy. We're going to try to sneak one more in here, though. 844-967-2789. Wisco, don't be an idiot. Be a smart guy. I know you are.
Hey, Wisco.
Well, hey, thanks. Great show today. It's always nice to hear from Maggie. Did I get that straight from Maggie that with this ruling, it's an opinion or whatever you want to call it? Does this put just about anything on the table? Is that what she said?
Thanks well, it does open a legal Pandora's box. If effectively we have no rights except those enumerated by the Constitution.
Which, of course, is not right.
Which is Alito's finding, but he has the agreement of a 5-4 majority, at least in the current draft version. Well, then everything's on the table, Paul, theoretically. Everything from same-sex marriage to interracial marriage. Contraceptive use, you know, if there's no privacy rights enumerated
well, then, why,
by the
why,
Constitution.
Then how do you defend quote-unquote traditional man-woman marriage? I mean, if every other marriage is illegal except that one marriage, based on what do you say that? And again, it's the religion, man!
Of course, Tom, because that is in the Bible. Had one great guest for a long time today. We appreciate her. She is Attorney Margaret Dawn. And Dom, but, you know, you're a regular. Thank you, Brian. Yeah. Thank you, Evan. Thank you all for listening.
If the issue were to come before me, if I am fortunate enough to be confirmed and the issue were to come before me, the first question would be the question that we've been discussing, and that's the issue of stare decisis.